To open your Bible to one of the last letters written by the Apostle Paul in the New Testament. I'm talking about the book of 1 Timothy, 1 Timothy 4, and have your long outline handy to follow along. The title of, on your outline and up on the screen earlier won't make as much sense today as it will next week because we won't get to the weeds and the wolves until then, but we'll get there. You got a lot of information, which I wanted you to be able to take with you when you leave this morning. I started to make your notes much shorter with just headings that I would explain, and I will explain the material that's there. But I made it complete enough that if you missed something I say or you didn't have time to write it down, you still have enough to take home that you can read and hopefully understand about this strange world of wokeness that we have all entered into the last few years, what it means, what the Bible says about it, and how we should respond. And this is just part of the outline. More is coming next week, Lord willing. This is the beginning of the series I've been promising you for a long time. We'll look at wokeness today and next week, Lord willing, and then take a break for Mother's Day and then come back to the related topics after that. I've learned more about wokeness than I ever wanted to know, and you'll probably be feeling the same way when we're done. But if you were as unaware of it as I have been, and that's why I gave you so much information. We could kind of trace the use of the term, how it has changed with the changing of the century, and how we should respond to that. Your Bible is open to 1 Timothy 4. Look with me as I read 1 Timothy 4, verses 1 and 2, and then verse 6. And I'm reading from the NIV this morning. The Spirit clearly says that in latter or later times, some will abandon the faith and follow deceiving spirits and things taught by demons. Such teachings come through hypocritical liars whose consciences have been seared as with a hot iron. Verse 6, if you point out these things to the brothers, you will be a good minister of Christ Jesus, brought up in the truths of the faith and of the good teaching that you have followed. Jen Markell of Minnesota heads up a wonderful work known as Olive Tree Ministries and hosts a weekly radio program called Understanding the Times. I highly recommend that you listen to her program, on which she always has an expert guest, often a pastor, a Bible teacher. Yesterday it was former Congresswoman and strong follower of Christ, Michelle Bachmann, whom she interviews regarding the topic for the week. Her program airs on the Truth Network locally from 7 to 8 every Saturday morning. You've got to be kidding, Dale. 7 o'clock on Saturday morning. I'm telling you, if you want the good stuff, you have to make some sacrifices. Or you can just go to Olive Tree website and listen to the program later online. She gets the title of her program from 1 Chronicles 12:32, where the Bible talks about the men of Issachar who understood the times and knew what Israel should do. When the Pharisees and Sadducees came to Jesus and tested him by asking him to show them a sign from heaven, he replied, "When evening comes, you say it will be fair weather, for the sky is red. And in the morning, today it will be stormy, for the sky is red and overcast. You know how to interpret the appearance of the sky, but you cannot interpret the signs of the times." Matthew 16. That indictment that our Lord made could be made today, not just against our pagan culture, which we wouldn't expect to understand the times, but tragically against most of those who call themselves followers of Christ in our churches. Now, there are reasons for that willful ignorance and woeful lack of spiritual discernment, which we will perhaps consider next time. But all of us here should understand that the times we're living in match the times that Paul has in mind in his warning in this passage to his protege Timothy. There is no doubt in my mind that we're living in the latter times, or the last days, as some translations render the term. We're seeing events rapidly line up for the Gog and Magog invasion of Israel, predicted in Ezekiel 38 and 39. We, a few months ago, did a series on that. We're seeing a strong foundation laid for a global one world government, which the Bible clearly tells us will be headed up by the Antichrist during the tribulation, Revelation 13. And unless a few American congressmen and senators who still love freedom and value America's sovereignty act quickly, We will see a huge plank in the foundation of that global dictatorship laid down in about a month in Geneva, Switzerland. And in addition to the political landscape being formed for major end time prophetic events, we are eyewitnesses of the growing apostasy within the evangelical Christian church as some are abandoning the faith they once claimed to believe, as Paul said would happen. We just read it. And they're following teaching that comes straight from hell because it originates from demons. That's what Paul says. Who are evil spirits deceiving these people who have no spiritual discernment. The apostasy took place in much of Catholicism and most mainline Protestant denominations more than 100 years ago at the beginning of the 20th century. And now it is occurring in the evangelical church, which I did not think I would see in my lifetime. Some of those moving into apostasy are pastors and Christian leaders and evangelical seminaries and Christian organizations. Some involve entire congregations as they follow their leaders down the slippery slope of rejecting clear biblical teaching. You say, well, Dale, that's all frightening and disheartening. But what does it have to do with the topic today, wokeness? Well, it has everything to do with the demonic deception of the end times and the apostasy, because among the doctrines of demons are some of the key features, I believe, in the wokeness agenda or wokeism. Some of this is so bizarre and so nonsensical and yet embraced and celebrated by otherwise intelligent people that it can only be attributed to the deceiving power of Satan, even as God has given over much of our society to a reprobate mind, as we saw a few weeks ago in Romans 1. Very few people in the general population had even heard the term woke used as it is today, as recently as 5 or 6 years ago. I hadn't. But then during the COVID pandemic and the widespread riots and destruction following the tragic killing of George Floyd, wokeness seemed to burst upon the scenes, moving from the fringe to the mainstream, and then quickly find its way into many evangelical churches. Wokeness, it seems to me, is somewhat of an umbrella term that encompasses many other uses that are linked with it. So before we tackle some of the other issues, we need to wrap our minds around this woke ideology and then see how it compares with clear biblical teaching, because that's our concern. To see how this or any other ideology stacks up against the Bible, which is the reservoir of truth and the final authority for all followers of Christ. This lesson is not a political or a sociological lecture, although the subject hits upon many issues that are hot topic items with huge political ramifications. We are all, as followers of Christ, living in a culture that has quickly become saturated with wokeness. So we need to know what it means. We need to know what God says about it. And so we'll know how to respond. We need to be men and women of Issachar who understand the times and know what God's people should do. We need to be men and women who can interpret the signs of the times, Jesus said in Matthew 16. So let's begin by talking about wokeness. I'm sorry. Well, let me go back. What does woke mean in today's, technology? Wokeness in the culture and the church. We'll start to get to the church at the end, and then that'll be our focus mainly next time. So what does woke mean in today's world? And notice I asked what it means in today's world, which is where we are, where we live, because like many other good words of the past, this one has been changed, and rather recently. Grammatically, the English word woke is the past tense of wake. Like, for example, the baby woke from her nap. We all understand that basic use of the term. The baby was asleep, and then she woke up, and if you're a tired mother, you wish you'd slept a little longer because you needed a longer rest. But now your little one is up, she's crying, she needs her diaper changed, and she wants to be fed. You love her, but the break was nice. That's the grammatical use of woke. Culturally, the word woke is a slang term that's moved into the mainstream vocabulary to describe social and political issues. So note with me, and you have all this on your sheet, woke is an adjective derived from African-American vernacular English, AAVE, meaning, quote, alert to racial prejudice and discrimination. According to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary in African-American Vernacular English, awake is often rendered as woke, as in I was sleeping, but now I'm woke. The word then moved from the literal sense of waking up from sleep, from the early part of the 20th century, to the idea of being aware of what's going on in the culture, especially in the social and political realm, being alert to racial prejudice and discrimination. Note that among the earliest uses of the idea of wokeness as a concept for black political consciousness, it came from a Jamaican philosopher and social activist named Marcus Garvey, who wrote in 1923, in a collection of aphorisms and ideas, he wrote, "Wake up, Ethiopia, wake up, Africa. Let us work towards the one glorious end of a free, redeemed, and mighty nation. Let Africa be a bright star among the constellation of nations." There are some writers who refer to Marcus Garvey as the Moses of Africa. 15 years later, black American folk singer Huddy Ledbetter, a.k.a. Leadbelly, used the phrase, quote, stay woke, as part of a spoken afterword to a 1938 rendering of his song, Scottsboro Boys, where he tells the story of 9 black teenagers and young men falsely accused of raping 2 white women in Alabama in 1931. In the recording, he says he met with the defendant's lawyers and the young men themselves, and he says, quote, "I advise everybody be a little careful when you go through Scottsboro. Best stay woke. Keep your eyes open." Events progressed. By the mid-20th century, woke had become to mean well-informed or aware, especially in a political or cultural sense. The Oxford English Dictionary traces the earliest such usage to a 1962 New York Times Magazine article entitled, "If You're Woke, You Dig It," by African-American novelist William Melvin Kelly, who was in that article writing, describing the appropriation of black slang by white beatniks. Hadn't heard that term in a long time. Some of us remember beatniks as a label from the hippie era of the 1960s. The term woke gained more political connotations by 1971. You can see we're just kind of tracing this through the 20th century. When the play Garvey Lives, which is a reference back to Marcus Garvey, 1923, by Barry Beckham, included the line, "I've been sleeping all my life, and now that Mr. Garvey done woke me up, I'm going to stay woke, and I'm going to help him wake up other black folk." So the word there is clearly becoming a term of awareness. Fast forward another 30 years to the 21st century, and in the first decade, the word used was added the sense of being alert to social and or racial discrimination and injustice. That term was popularized by soul singer Erykah Badu's 2008 song Master Teacher via the refrain, "I Stay Woke." Georgia Ann Muldrow wrote that song. She says she learned the phrase from a Harlem saxophonist who used it literally. But Merriam-Webster says that the expression "stay woke" in that song has meaning, came to mean self-aware, questioning the dominant paradigm and striving for something better. By the 2010s, it added the social issue of sexism. When Badu supported a Russian feminist rock group whose members were imprisoned in Russia, with the 2012 tweet, "Truth requires no belief." I don't know what that means. Truth requires no belief. Stay woke, watch closely. It's one of the first examples of the "stay woke" hashtag, which according to The Economist, began to signify a progressive, key word there, progressive outlook on a host of issues as well as race. A couple of years later, during the 2014 Ferguson protests, the phrase "stay woke" was popularized by Black Lives Matter, became a major theme for them. In an article from East Carolina University, quoting Merriam-Webster, the word "woke" became entwined with the Black Lives Matter movement. Instead of just being a word that signaled awareness of political or racial tension, it became a word of action, of a key word there. Activists were woke and called on others to stay woke. It became increasingly common on Black Twitter. According to Charles Pulliam Moore, the term began crossing over into general internet usage in 2015. The phrase "stay woke" became an internet meme. Searches for woke on Google surged in 2015. So not surprisingly, young people stay on the internet. So it became increasingly identified with members of the millennial generation, those born between 81 and 96, and now Generation Z, born between 97 and 2012. In May 2016, MTV News identified woke as being among 10 words teenagers should know. In 2016, In 2017, the American Dialect Society voted woke the slang word of the year. So for the first time, 2017, woke was added to the Merriam-Webster Dictionary, defined as, quote, aware of and actively attentive to important facts and issues, especially issues of racial and social justice. That same year, the Oxford English Dictionary included woke for the first time, defining it originally well-informed, up-to-date, now chiefly alert to racial or social discrimination and injustice. The next year, rapper Meek Mill made Stay Woke the first song on his album, Legends of the Summer. So let me kind of summarize all this by simply saying, in the last several years, and I gave you all this just to see, so you could trace it and see where I'm coming from here, woke has moved from awareness to action, from being politically and socially aware, nothing wrong with that, to actively promoting leftist, political, and social policies. It seems to me that the left sort of hijacked that desire to be aware. In fact, Asia Romano of Vox said, woke evolved into a single word summation of leftist political ideology centered on social justice politics and critical race theory, which is one of the big items that we're going to be talking about in weeks to come. And for a follower of Christ who lives in submission to the principles set forth in Scripture, that has become a real problem. So we've looked at woke grammatically, how it began, culturally, how it evolved from African-American English vernacular, from being alert to injustice, to discrimination. It evolved to actively promoting leftist policies. So let's examine this new political aspect of wokeness quickly. It aggressively promotes leftist progressive ideology and policy to fundamentally change America to a secular socialist state, as well as a host of other issues in direct opposition to biblical teaching. Now let me say, everybody who would claim to be woke doesn't agree with all the things that I'm going to list here. But all of the things that I'm going to list here and that are listed on your sheet are clearly identified, and I didn't make this up, this is from research, are identified with woke ideology. Now, as soon as I put that, a lot of people, perhaps many well-meaning Christians, would say, wait a minute, Dale, whether the United States stays a free democratic republic or a secular socialist state is not a biblical issue. You shouldn't be talking about it in church. Well, let me address that. I admit there's some truth to that charge, and I'm sensitive to that. God can and will carry out his purposes in a nation, whether that nation is free, as America has been since her founding, or a dictatorship, as in Red China and North Korea today. The leaders of those totalitarian states are not hindering, ultimately, what God wants to do. He could use Nebuchadnezzar, he did, who was a dictator par excellence. He could use Cyrus, which he did. He says, I raise up kings and I put them down. So that doesn't, who's in power doesn't stop what God intends to do. Our mission is not to save America, but to save Americans one at a time by proclaiming the gospel, leading them to faith in Christ and turning them into faithful disciples. I understand that. Our Lord taught us to pray, your will be done on earth. And if God's will is for us to lose our freedoms and be actively persecuted, then his will be done. I don't want that to happen, but his will be done. I do know that that is exactly the direction the leadership in Washington is taking us. No mistake about that. Every week, new alarming evidence comes to light to support that dreadful fact. And I know that's what we deserve for our disobedience to the Lord, and I know that's what our nation deserves because we rebelled against him. But I don't know yet if that is God's will. I pray that it is not. I pray that he will open the eyes of his people and hear our cry and will send genuine revival that will delay judgment for another generation or more. That is my earnest prayer and hope. And yet I do know that socialism has been and always will be an enemy of Christianity and aggressively persecutes the true church of Christ. Why? Because socialism demands total allegiance to the state, or more accurately, to the dictator who runs the state. And socialist, communist dictators know that true followers of Christ will never give them total allegiance, even on pain of death, because their total allegiance is to Christ. That's why so many Christians in the first century died. They would not say once a year, Kaiser Kurios, Caesar is Lord, because he wasn't Lord. Jesus Christ was Lord. They were willing to die for that. And dictators see that as a threat to their absolute rule. In addition, there are obviously huge ramifications for the free proclamation of the gospel and the ability to gather as we are gathering this morning in a public worship and Bible teaching. Think of the thousands, I hope thousands, of evangelical churches in America that have not gone woke, that still obey the Bible, preach the gospel, remnant churches they're often called today. Think of the Christian organizations in this country. Think of the missions agencies. Think of the missionaries sent out each year from America. Think of the Bible societies. Think of ministries like the Gideons, who place millions of Bibles all over the world. Think of the pro-life ministries like Love, like Students for Life or Love Life and many others who courageously stand on the front line to protect the unborn. Think of Samaritan's Purse, this wonderful ministry, all that it does in this country and around the world, reaching millions of children with the Christian, with the Christmas shoeboxes and helping those in crisis situations. Many of us have worked with them in rebuilding homes and cleaning up after disasters. And yet this strong Christian ministry is hated by the left because Franklin Graham, God bless him, stands firmly and courageously on biblical principles of marriage and sexuality and will not back down from that. Thank you, Franklin. And the list of vital Christian ministries goes on and on. All of that would be stopped or greatly curtailed if woke ideology succeeds in getting its way. In addition, most of the positions of wokeness promotes are in direct opposition to the Bible. And we as followers of Christ have an obligation to stand against them and speak the truth. So yes, this is a biblical issue. And we need to talk about it so that we're informed, so that we understand the times, so that we can discern the signs of the times, so that we, like the men of Issachar, we know what God's people ought to do. So let's be clear that wokeism or wokeness has become rooted in cultural Marxism. That's not the way the word was first used in the first part of the 20th century. It was meant to be aware of racial and social issues, but the left has hijacked that. And this ideology hijacks genuine issues of discrimination and justice in order to foster ongoing sharp divisions within society. That's what they want, unrest, chaos, promoting riots, social unrest, destruction, with the goal of bringing about a socialist revolution. We need to be aware that beginning in the 2010s, wokeness gained popularity amid an increasingly leftward turn on various issues among the American political left. It's crystal clear to anyone who will look at the facts that wokeness promotes, and I've got a list here of the things that they promote, a victim mentality, which is behind a lot of this transgenderism, radical individualism, I get to be my own God, basically. The serpent said I could, and that's what I'm doing. And it's linked to critical race theory, political correctness, identity politics, cancel culture, abortion on demand, LGBTQ rights, same-sex marriage, transgenderism, promotion of children's rights over parents' rights. That's a big thing going on now in a lot of states because of what's going on in the schools, promotion of criminals' rights over victims' rights, men and women's restrooms and locker rooms, women athletes forced to compete against biological males, forced sexualization of young children, sex change surgery for minors without parental consent or knowledge. And I end that list with an et cetera because every week another ridiculous, immoral, harmful policy of the woke left comes to light. I'll probably have to add to the list by next Sunday. I say again, not everyone who would say, yeah, I'm woke, agrees with all those things. I understand that. And I want to be fair, but all of those are under the woke umbrella. In recent years, woke policies of the left have moved, from my perspective and a lot of others, from the absurd loony to demonically Luciferian. And I do not use that term indiscriminately. Paul, what did Paul say? These are teachings of demons, seducing spirits, deceiving spirits. The sexualization and sterilization and sexual mutilation of America's preschool, kindergarten, elementary age children is a doctrine of demons. How could anybody who is sane be in favor of that? But that's what's happening. And it has been deliberately foisted upon America's entire public school system. It wasn't voted upon on the state or federal level, but it was quietly implemented by our wicked Department of Education. Wicked, yes. Anybody who does that to children is wicked. When are we going to start speaking the truth? Oh, I don't want to offend anybody. I better be quiet so they won't know what I believe. That's the exact opposite of what Jesus told us to do, right? What is this putting the light under the left doesn't mind shouting it from the rooftop. We need to stand for truth, speak the truth in love, yes. But anybody who does that to children without parental consent and without them knowing about it, that is wickedness, a teaching of demons. Okay? Are you sure about it? Could you make that a little clearer, Dale? I hope that's understandable. I'm getting it straight from 1 Timothy 4, right? We just read it. Some school districts and counties across the nation, some states like Florida, are pushing back against this vile sexualization and indoctrination, but the efforts are much smaller and weaker than they should be. I'm wondering, where are the Christians? Exactly. You see, America's non-woke parents were lulled to sleep by a lapdog media while all this was happening. We were too busy chasing the American dream. We're too busy being distracted. And now we look around and say, wow, what happened? Well, it happened under our watch. It has become clear, and I borrowed this list in part from an article by Perry Bacon, and I'm going to give you a long list here, and here it goes. Ideas associated with wokeness. Rejection of American sexualism. The U.S. has never been a true democracy. People of color suffer from systemic and institutional racism. White Americans experience white privilege. African Americans deserve reparations for slavery and discrimination. Disparities among racial groups in certain professions and industries are automatic evidence of discrimination. U.S. law enforcement agencies are designed to discriminate against people of color and so should be defunded, disbanded, or heavily reformed. Women suffer from systemic sexism. Individuals should be able to identify with any gender or none. U.S. capitalism is deeply flawed and should be replaced with socialism. The election of Donald Trump in 2016 was a reflection of the prejudices about people of color held by large parts of the U.S. population. Globalism, not nationalism, is what is needed to address the needs of the planet and the well-being of Earth's inhabitants. Now, I didn't make up that list, but I agree with Perry Bacon that it does reflect at least some of the ideas of wokeness ideology. And maybe you agree with some of the positions on the list. I'm not saying yay or nay on those. I'm sure that many professing Christians in the country would agree with several of them. And there's some of them that I would agree with. Number 9 on the list about identifying by any gender is clearly unbiblical. God created human beings as either male or female. There aren't any other genders. And to reject the gender God gave you at conception and take hormones and mutilate your body to identify as the opposite gender, it seems to me, is to deny and rebel against your Creator. And number 12, in conjunction with several of the other anti-American positions, that's the last one there up there, is moving us ever closer to the end time scenario of a one world government headed by the Antichrist. And I know that's ultimately where the world is going. I understand that. But that doesn't mean we should all get behind it and push it that direction. Satan and his followers are clearly able to do that. That is not the way the Lord has set it up. He divided the nations partly for the sake of safety. Tragically, wokeness has been fully embraced by the Democratic Party, has infiltrated and now dominates America's public education from preschool to university, media, entertainment industry, military, healthcare, economy, climate concerns, big tech, as well as much of the business community with many large corporations on board. Some of you in the business world are having to deal with wokeness in the workplace. I've already mentioned the tragedy of public education. We know about the media and entertainment industry. We've seen the censorship and leftist bias of big tech, how they work deliberately and unashamedly to influence the 2020 election, and probably everyone, all the rest of them in the future. We saw firsthand woke ideology at work in the healthcare profession during the COVID pandemic, with the mandates and shutdowns and selective approval of some treatments for COVID while rejecting others that many doctors testified were clearly effective in treating the virus. We saw how government took advantage of the pandemic to destroy thousands of small businesses and spent trillions of dollars and printed money out of thin air to drive up inflation and further cripple our economy, then took away our energy independence, destroyed thousands of jobs, further crippling our economy in the name of climate concern. All of this is connected with woke ideology, as well as the push for electric vehicles, the rejection of fossil fuels, as well as the threat to even to ban gas stoves. We saw the pandemic's woke negative attitude toward religion, especially Christianity. Shut down the churches, keep them closed. Casinos are necessary. They can stay open, but not churches. And if they do open, only 50 people and at least 6 feet apart. But as many as we can get in the casino, that's fine. And what woke has done in our military is heartbreaking. While our biggest enemy, China, is ramping up her navy and her entire military force, training and equipping her vast army with the obvious goal of overcoming the West and becoming the dominant nation on Earth, our woke military leaders, from the top down, have turned our once great military into a series of social experiments to reflect woke ideology. This is all happening with breathtaking speed, which shows that it is a well-planned and well-orchestrated agenda. 2 years ago, it was still true that America was the greatest economic power, greatest military power on earth. Our allies trusted us. Our enemies feared us. It would be a stretch to say that any of that remains true today. How quickly? 2 years. There are 250,000 missiles pointed at Israel right this minute. The danger there is greater than any time since the Yom Kippur War in 1973. The threat is being pushed and escalated by Iran, who has boasted she will annihilate Israel within 25 years. You say, well, the Lord's not going to let that happen. I understand that. But I also understand God says, I'll bless those who bless you, Abraham. I'll curse those who curse you. And it is a dangerous step for us to move away from Israel, as we have been rapidly doing the last 2 years. And I learned this week that our corrupt State Department is helping to fund these threats. Iran is doing this because she knows, as does Russia, China, and North Korea, that they don't have to fear the U.S. right now, perhaps never again. These enemies are making economic alliances unlike anything in history, with the goal of further crippling America economically. Like the old Roman Empire of old, that was so powerful that no outside enemy could conquer her until she rotted from the inside. Is that what we're seeing happen to us? Are we being rapidly corrupted and weakened and even destroyed from within, not by accident, but by design, in keeping with woke ideology? And it's not just in America. If I had time, I could give you evidence from my research that wokeness has spread to Canada, Europe, Asia, and Oceania. But the real question for us, and I realize this is a long way coming here, but I wanted you to see the background and how things have shifted. And I want to end with this: how should followers of Christ respond to wokeness? And I've got 5 points here that we'll move through quickly in the remainder of our time. Let me begin this portion by insisting that Bible-believing Christians should be concerned about and oppose all racial discrimination and injustice of any form. And that's where the idea of woke originally started in the early 20th century, being aware of what was going on. And it was real. Racial injustice, racial discrimination. That point should not be up for debate, because the first chapters of the Bible teaches us that all humans are descendants of Adam and Eve through one of Noah's sons, and there's only one race, the human race. We've studied this in various series over the past few years. Genesis 1 and 2 declare in no uncertain terms that God created humans in his image, distinct from animals. He created the first man from the dust of the ground, breathed into his nostrils the breath of life. Thus he became a living being. Then he created the first woman from a piece of bone and flesh from the man's side. They were the first human couple, a literal man and a literal woman, not two higher apes that evolved into humans over millions of years. And from this human couple, every human being on the planet has literally descended so that Eve could rightly be called the mother of all living. The human race grew and multiplied from this first couple because of the long lifespans of hundreds of years. Genesis 5, the human population probably numbered in the billions by the time of the flood. Because of man's wickedness and the interference by demons, Genesis 6, God wiped out the entire human race with a global flood during the days of Noah. Genesis 6 to 9, only Noah, his wife, his three sons, and their wives were saved in the ark, which God instructed Noah to build according to his design. God brought two, a male and female, of every air-breathing creature to the ark to preserve them alive, along with seven of the clean animals for sacrifice. And when Noah and his family came off the ark after about a year and his sons and wives began to have children, every human on the planet is a direct descendant of one of those three couples. And the rest of the Bible, Old and New Testament, confirms the record of Genesis 1 to 9, including what the Apostle Paul told the people of Athens. From one man, Adam, he made all the nations that they should inhabit the whole earth, and he marked out their appointed times in history and the boundaries of their lands. So there's no place in the life of a follower of Jesus for racial discrimination or prejudice against another person who looks different or comes from a different place. We're all made in God's image. We're all descendants of Adam and Eve. We're all descendants of one of Noah's three sons. We're all sinners. We all are in need of salvation that comes only through the finished work of Jesus Christ on the cross. In addition, we know that we're commanded to love our neighbors ourselves and to promote justice. That's not up for debate. Loving our neighbors ourselves was first commanded in Leviticus 19, 18, and our Lord quoted that verse in Matthew 22, 38 as the second greatest commandment. And then Amos and Micah and other biblical writers remind us of the importance of promoting justice for all, regardless of race or nationality. Amos 5:24, let justice roll on like a river, righteousness like a never-failing stream, a passage that Martin Luther King Jr. liked to quote. Micah 6:8, he has shown you, O man, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, to love mercy, to walk humbly with your God. And before our Lord returned to heaven, he left our marching orders that we are to evangelize and make disciples of all people groups. Preach the gospel to every creature. Make disciples of all nations. And the promise is, one day, men and women from every tribe and language and people and nation will be around the throne of God with us, singing and worshiping the Lamb. That's why I wanted us to see that newsboy video at the beginning, He Reigns. It's based upon Revelation 5:9. Listen to the words. It's the song of the redeemed rising from the African plain. It's the song of the forgiven drowning out the Amazon rain. The song of Asian believers filled with God's holy fire. It's every tribe, every tongue, every nation, a love song born of a grateful choir. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns. He reigns. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns. He reigns. Let it rise above the four winds, caught up in the heavenly sound. Let praises echo from the towers of cathedrals to the faithful gathered underground. Of all the songs sung from the dawn of creation, some were meant to persist. Of all the bells rung from 1,000 steeples, none rings truer than this. It's all God's children singing glory, glory, hallelujah. He reigns, he reigns. That's us singing around the throne one day with our redeemed brothers and sisters from Africa and Asia and South America and from the underground church in China and other totalitarian countries. That's Revelation 5. We'll be there. Christ is building his church around the world from all these people groups right now, every day until the day he comes to take his church home, which could be today. That's why there's no place for racial prejudice or discrimination or injustice in the heart and life of a follower of Christ. So it ought to be obvious that Christ's followers should have no issues with the early meaning of wokeness through much of the 20th century. I'll show you next time a recent poll. 56% of Americans have a positive view of wokeness because they view it as what it was at one time, an awareness of racial prejudice and discrimination. Only 39% view it today in a negative sense, because they are the ones that understand what it has become. So as we've seen, being aware and alert to racial prejudice and discrimination of the 20th century eventually morphed in the 21st century into promoting very unbiblical positions in the name of woke ideology. And we must take issue with any teaching or argument or pretense or philosophy or political platform that sets itself up against the knowledge of God. In fact, we are called to use the spiritual weapons God has given us to demolish these satanic strongholds. And we can't do that if we don't know what they are and then speak against them. And far, far, far too many spiritual leaders, so-called evangelical pastors, are not only speaking, they're not speaking against it, they're embracing it. God help us. And so genuine believers should boldly speak the truth in love, stand solidly in opposition to all of the unbiblical positions. As I said, not all of it is unbiblical, but the unbiblical positions promoted by the current wokeness agenda in every area of our culture. And I've listed for you just some of the biblical passages where we're given God's position on these issues. Sadly, much of Catholicism, nearly all mainline denominations, have embraced the woke agenda because decades ago they rejected God's word as their final authority. They began to embrace the views of culture that stood in direct opposition to what God said. So you have large churches in the area. I think about when we were trying to do the marriage amendment. Big church in Chapel Hill was coming out saying how discriminating that was to stand in any way against same-sex marriage. And so that's confusing to people who have no connection with the church. They say, well, this church says it's wrong. This church says this. They both claim to love Jesus. But when you reject the Bible as your final authority, then anything goes. Anything goes. Whether it's about creation, marriage, human sexuality, sanctity of human life, the person of Christ, even the way of salvation. No wonder that so many within these churches are happy to endorse and celebrate woke ideology. Finally, tragically, an increasing number of supposedly evangelical pastors and churches are aligning themselves with wokeness, usually in the guise of promoting social justice. Now, there is nothing wrong with promoting social justice, but you have to define it, and the way wokeness defines it is not what Amos and Micah are talking about. Perhaps revealing, and I can't sit in judgment on anybody. We're going to look at Matthew 13 next time, Acts 20 next time, again at 1 Timothy 4, about the weeds planted in the wheat and the wolves among the sheep that our Lord warned us about. And are we seeing that happening in an ever-increasing way today? I'm afraid we are. It's heartbreaking to see that this is unfolding before us, but the Bible warned us it would happen. Do you know the Lord? How important it is that you know the Lord and you know His Word today, that you become a great student of the Word, that you, so that you know what He says, so you can understand the times and know what you and your family, your children and grandchildren, your church, your culture, how God's people should respond to the world that we're living in. Let's stand with heads bowed. We read sang two verses earlier of There's Power in the Blood. We're going to conclude with the other two verses because that's where the power is. And I'd much rather talk about that than talk about wokeness, but we need to understand what it is so that we know how to respond. Do you know the Lord? If not, I invite you to Him. Father, we thank You that You've not left us in the dark, even as the darkness of our culture grows deeper and deeper. We realize it's an opportunity for our light to shine brighter. So Lord, help us to be the men and women You've called us to be, men and women of Issachar who understand the times, know what we ought to do for the sake of our families, for the sake of our church, for the sake of our community, for the sake of our country. Lord, remember all those believers across this land who still love You, who cry out to You. We know we deserve judgment. We know we deserve what we're seeing around us, but we ask You, Lord, to be merciful upon us, open the eyes of Your people that we might cry out to You, that You might hear from heaven and forgive our sin and heal our land. We realize that there is no forgiveness apart from the shedding of the blood of Jesus Christ, that there's power in that blood. We're thankful, Lord, that His blood keeps on cleansing us from all unrighteousness every day. For any who might be here today that do not have that assurance, speak to their heart, draw them to yourself. We'll thank you, Lord, for all that you do. In Jesus' name, amen.